Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Holy God, may the words from my mouth and the meditations in all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. A friend of mine shared a video that he found, and in it, a gentleman named Wiley Overstreet, he went out into the city of Los Angeles, and he took his telescope with him. Has anyone seen this one? And he pointed it at the moon, and he allowed passerbys to look. And in the video, anyways, all of their reactions are the same. They're generally awed. They're seeing something that has been there all along, but it's as though they're seeing it for the first time. They're no longer just passing underneath it. They marvel at the craters, at the shape, at the detail. The moon isn't just something far away that perhaps we looked at with wonder as kids and then slowly forgot about as we aged. The moon has become something intimately close. It had been there all along. They only just noticed it. There's a passage in Matthew that I've wanted to preach on for a while. It's one of those weird passages that I find my eyes have probably glanced over countless times, but I never really thought about until a few years ago when it struck me. I read it, and then I wondered, is that saying what I think it's saying? So I read it again, and yes, it was. I read it again, and still yes, and I couldn't wait for Matthew to come up in the narrative lectionary. And so here it is from Matthew 27, verses 51 to 53. And this occurs at the moment of Jesus' death. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, the earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. So when Jesus died, there was an earthquake. The tombs broke open and many holy people were raised to life. And after his resurrection, they went out into Jerusalem and appeared to many. How many people knew this part of the story? A couple. Yeah, a couple. Why don't we ever hear about this? Why don't we ever talk about this in our Holy Week narratives? It's kind of weird, right? So the tombs break open, the dead rise, but then they hang out in their tomb for 2 days. And then on Easter morning, they go about their business, I guess. But what are they doing? Do they pop in to visit family? Does Jerusalem become a scene of the walking dead? What happened next? Do they live out their lives? Do they ascend to heaven? Do they eventually crawl back into their tombs? I looked at a bunch of different commentaries, and none of them could tell me much. Mostly that I was right in my assessment that, yes, this passage is pretty weird. The scene is so bizarre, in large part because it's never mentioned anywhere else. Matthew never comes back to it. He just says it happened, and then Matthew's done. None of the other Gospels ever mention it. We never talk about it. I don't think I've ever heard a preacher mention it in my time in the church anyway. And as I said, I've never really noticed it. I never took it in over however many readings I've had of Matthew in my life. It's overshadowed by the pain of the arrest, the trial, crucifixion, and death of Jesus before it, and the resurrection after it. I think my mind perhaps just stuck with the familiar, and anything that didn't fit with the familiar story, I must have just glossed over. But as I thought about it, I came to realize that this story carries some tremendous mythological weight to it. We're often taught that in many ways the story of Jesus is unique, and that's part of the Christian understanding of it. But in many ways, it isn't. And this story, for me, seems to get at that. Richard Rohr had in his daily meditation just this morning, I had to insert it because it worked out pretty well. He wrote, quote, "Easter isn't celebrating a one-time miracle as if it only happened in the body of Jesus and we're all here to cheer on Jesus." It's funny that we take Easter that way, when in the Gospels themselves, they offer two examples of people being raised from the dead before Jesus: Lazarus and the aforementioned resurrection of the saints. It's funny that Western Christianity has done this, has limited resurrection to the life of Jesus. Because what this story helps me to see is that life didn't triumph over death just in Jesus, but that life has been triumphing over death since the very beginning. The victory over death is not something that is new. It's not just a one-time thing. It's not something that just started 2,000 years ago. But God's ability to redeem death, to turn it into life, to redeem destruction, and turn it into creation, well, that's the process woven into the very fabric of all being. We see it in the creation of the universe. We see it in the supernova of stars, in the seasonal change of winter to spring as new life grows out of the death of winter. We see it in the process of evolution as it continues to develop new and marvelous forms of life on the margins of struggle. We see it in forest and prairie fires giving way to new growth. We see it in embryology and the programmed cell death that leads to the development of organisms in utero. We see it in composting. We see it in our human stories. We see how out of pain we understand death, how out of loss and grief we can be transformed, how movements of justice and tremendous global change have grown out of oppression. This didn't just happen one day 2,000 years ago. Again, Rohr says, if we don't believe that every crucifixion, war, poverty, torture, hunger can somehow be redeemed, who of us would not be angry or cynical or hopeless? No wonder Western culture seems skeptical today. It all doesn't mean anything. It's not going anywhere because we weren't given a wider cosmic vision of Jesus' resurrection. What makes Jesus unique is how his life embodies the incarnate presence of the sacred in the world, how his life humanizes this holy process and makes it accessible. To me, that the newly risen stayed in their tombs for 2 days points out what makes the Jesus story unique. It was only after Jesus was risen that they were seen. They were only recognized through the lens of the risen Christ. And I think this is what makes the Jesus story special. The Jesus story reminds us of the incarnate presence in life, death, and new life. The Jesus story points out what has always been there since those very first whispers of creation. The Jesus story shows us how marvelous and how sacred those processes woven into creation are, and how they're all around us. The Jesus story invites us to take a look and to notice something that's always been there. Something that's been a part of our lives that we can suddenly take notice of. In that earlier story I mentioned where the gentleman took his telescope out to look at the moon, Jesus isn't the moon. Jesus is the telescope that's pointed at the moon so we can see Easter all around us. Easter is eternal. Easter is the first word and last word in the midst of all that is. We are surrounded by the sacred process of life, death, and resurrection. Jesus embodies that so we can see it and see it everywhere. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our hymn is number 448, We Know That Christ Is Raised.